Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today. This is Monday, and I persuaded our guests from last week to stay at least one more day with us and share with us what they want to share. They came, this is of course Don and Beverly Davis from Kerrville, Texas, ministers around the world, especially evangelistic and missionaries. And but they were trained up under Papa and Mama Goodman, I call them, Reverend and Mrs. J.R. Goodman, First Assemblies. You've heard Brother Kenneth E. Hagin talk about it. I've talked about it. And they were there, and they experienced it. And they sat in that presence of God that was in those services. So I've asked them to share this one last day what they want to share. Brother Don?
I wanted to just talk about briefly how what I really... A lot of times, you know, you have pastors sometimes that kind of lead a different kind of life than what you might imagine. Mom and Dad had a very simple life, and of course, they were people, mm-hmm. and they loved the people of the church. They really did. They loved the sheep.
Yes.
They looked after them.
Yes.
They cared for them. They looked after their soul. Dad knew that he had a responsibility, and Dad never was interested in pastoring more people than he felt like that he could influence and pastor. One of the things that I learned from him as much as anything was integrity. I noticed in Joe's book, one of the last things he talked about was the integrity of that ministry. And I was with Dad a lot of times. I want to tell one little excerpt. One time Dad was going, they would go over to a mall in Houston. Mom liked to shop. Dad would sit in the car and most of the time and read his Bible. And so I happened to be the designated driver that day. And so they were in the mall shopping, and I was sitting there under with the steering wheel, and Dad was reading the Bible, and he was actually reading it out loud so I could hear it too, which I loved. And so he's reading along, and all of a sudden he comes to a place, and he stopped talking. And so I just kind of glanced out of the corner of my eye, and he had his finger on the page, but he just quit reading. And he had taken a pop nap, we called him, and he had gone to sleep. And so he just quit reading, and so then he slept for about 30 seconds, and he opened his eyes, and he started reading again right where he left off. And I thought it was so funny. And then when he got to the end of the sentence, he looked over at me, and he said, "I think I went to sleep, didn't I?" And I said, "Yes, you did." And I said, "But that's okay." And he said, "Well, I have to do that every once in a while." But it was really cute. But Dad was a very gentle man, and I did learn integrity from him. I want to tell you one thing about something that happened, and I thought it was really great. This gets into something that I don't know. I guess people have done this, but you know, down through the years, I mean, we've been in Pentecost for so long. In fact, this June will be 50 years that I've been serving the Lord, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we've seen a lot of things. We've watched the ministry of other people all down through the years. And we were preaching a revival in Guthrie, Oklahoma, here a few years back. There was a guy there that actually had new mom and had some tapes and stuff, and so we went there, and when he found out that we had kind of a similar ministry, well, he wanted us to come up there and do a revival. And so one of the nights I decided that I would preach on divine healing, because we were preaching on spiritual gifts, and so I was going to preach on divine healing. So I did that. And during the meeting, on the way there, I told Beverly, I said, "Give the testimony of where Mom sent the cloth to you and told you to wrap your hands in it because she had a rash that would just break out on her hands, mm-hmm. and it was a mess. And so she wrapped her hands in the cloth and slept in it that night. The next day she got up, her hands were clear,
and never
had the rash again. And so I said, that'll be
power
of God. And I said, that'll be a good example of a divine healing. And so I preached. And so on the way to the meeting, she decided that she was going to do a disclaimer. Now, I can tell you that that's not a good thing to do.
I was up giving the testimony, and I was telling. The Lord had told me that morning, as we were on our way to the service, he said, if you'll give this testimony, there are people there with rashes, and I'm going to heal them. But as I was giving the testimony about the handkerchief and wrapping my hand in it, I wanted to say, but we don't believe, as a general rule, in sending out handkerchiefs to people for healing. But the Lord in my spirit said, no, don't do that. So I went ahead and told the whole story and never said a thing about we don't practice handing out handkerchiefs and aprons or anything like that. So anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, she's given the testimony. Well, she had no more finished the testimony about the handkerchiefs and everything. And I said, if you'll come forward, I said, we'll pray for you. And I know God's going to heal you. And so the first thing, a big guy, great big guy, big hairy guy, he comes up first thing and he just rips his shirt open and he's got, what do they call that? Shingles all the way across his chest. And then about 10 other people came forward. I never seen so many people with rashes in my entire life. And, they just began to come and everybody said, oh yeah, look at my rash. Yeah, look at it. And they had rashes all over the place. And so all of a sudden we hear this commotion and the rest of the people were in the back of in behind the platform where there's some sheets back there and they were back there tearing them up. They were just tearing them sheets up like crazy and
wanting us to anoint
those sheets so they could take them to their friends. I said, my God, the whole country's got a rash. So anyway, we laugh about it now, but I'm telling you, those people came to be healed, and they were healed.
And
so we always laugh about those things, you know. But we do believe God, and we believe that He is able to do anything because we know that when Mom sent those handkerchiefs to Beverly, what does Paul Harvey say, the rest of the story?
Yes.
One day we get an email from down in Brazil where we had been.
Oh, yeah.
And they send an email and they say, little so-and-so and so-and-so, which was a kid that was named after us, and he's got seizures.
They thought he was having seizures.
And they said, we don't know what he's got. But if you're there in Texas and we're down here in Brazil, would you send a prayer cloth down to us? And I said, oh my gosh, this is deja vu. What is it going to happen? Well, anyway, Beverly found some really nice handkerchiefs, you know, and we anointed them with oil and we sent them down.
We fasted too.
We fasted and prayed.
And
we sent them down to Brazil.
And those kids were healed.
And everybody in the country wanted
those
handkerchiefs.
Napkins on them.
Wanted to put them handkerchiefs on them. And I told Beverly, I said, But God. I mean, you know,
you cannot limit God.
You can't limit God.
No. I noticed in one of the words that came from you, he said, you can believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
You know, there have been times in the last 40 or 50 years that I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, you know, hey, we got all the answers and every time we open our mouth, God's going to jump. It ain't going to happen that way.
Mm-mm.
But I can tell you, I believe God and I believe He can do anything, we're big enough to believe he
according
can do.
According to your faith.
According to your faith.
That's
so
what
be it,
they,
so be
that's
it
what
unto
they
you.
Instilled in us. That's what Brother Hagin, when he came, that's what Dad taught and Mom taught. They instilled faith and confidence in Jesus Christ and what his word said.
And I want to ask you this about their lives. You said they moved in integrity.
Mm-hmm.
But they also taught the people to live a holy life, and they lived holy life, a separated life, did they?
Yes, they definitely did. Yes, Dad said that one day Dad and I went to the grocery store, and they were passing out these little scratch-off little things, and you get some kind of, I don't even remember what they were called. And Dad told the lady he refused to take them. And
Dad, you're talking
Dad,
about Dad Goodwin.
Goodwin, yeah. And so I said, "Well, Dad, what were those?" And he said, "Well, you know, they're games of chance." And he said, "We don't participate
in that."
Yeah, we don't participate in games of chance. And so he said they didn't even play dominoes or cards or anything like that, or go to shows. I mean, but they did have the power of God, and they did walk in the Spirit. And I can tell you, when they said a thing, it was that way. And their lives were an example that would take you to heaven. And their lives spoke always of a work of the Spirit that was towards God. There was no flesh and flim-flam in it.
They were thinking of him all the time.
Oh, I think
he was in
always.
The foremost of their thoughts and
all the time.
Their life.
There's a scripture that talks about the swarms and mosquitoes and bugs and stuff.
Yes.
And Dad, we would go over to their house, and he would say, "Just walk out that back door." He said, "If you find a mosquito out there," he said,
"Houston, Texas,
right?"
He said, "He ain't gonna be there very long, because
they claim that scripture. No swarms where you live.
We pray against those things. It's the word of God says.
There'll be no
swarms.
It
was always, there'll be no swarms. And I've seen him step out the back door there in Longview, and we would be walking around. He wasn't much on exercise, but he'd walk around, and I never saw Dad spit. But he there was an ant bed there, and he spit on that ant bed, and he said, "I curse you in Jesus' name. The Bible says there'll be no swarms around my dwelling." And, I mean, he didn't allow anything to come close to them that was going to be a nuisance to them.
I say that, yes, you're born again. Yes, you're saved by grace through faith. Yes, you're going to heaven. But you can have power before you go, or not have power before you go.
Amen.
And that's going to depend a lot of course, your faith.
Right.
But it
is
by the Holy Ghost. And I believe that it demands an operation of power, demands a holy life.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
A separation.
It does.
Yes. And the people that I've seen who've walked in the most power, and I'm not talking just shenanigans, you know, that you put on.
Right.
I'm talking real power.
Right. Yeah.
They walked a very separated life.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So.
And God is, and I can tell you that you know, you can have the power of God in your life, but it's going to cost you a separated person.
It will. It does. It costs a separation. Goodbye.